Shalom, Havarim. Hello, friends. It's good to see you on this Sunday morning or whenever you are watching. I heard a story this week about a man who was constantly yelling through a colander. You know, a colander, the thing you use to separate the spaghetti from the water. So the day and night, this guy would yell through his colander. Day and night, night and day, day after day, just kept yelling through this colander. And in the end, it left his voice strained. Oh, I'm done with that. That was absolutely terrible, but it's a little bit of a segue to explain why I'm here sipping on my hot tea. I don't like hot tea, but here I am. Orange zinger. I may be a little hoarse today. I'm still going through some stuff, and I'll come back to that here shortly. This week, my voice was even really low and deep, and I decided at one point to try singing, and indeed, I felt like I could hit notes that I'd never been able to hit before. So I turned on my camera phone, and I started recording as I sang some Johnny Cash. And then later, I played back that music. It did not sound nearly as good as I thought it did. I figured the phone must have distorted it somehow. Maybe it's the microphone on my phone. I'm not sure. But here we are on this Sunday morning, and I hope that you are doing well. Now, as many of you know, there's a big tourist industry in Amish country. And I thought I'd start today by sharing a story from Amish country. A tourist was going through Amish country and doing the things that you do, stopping at the restaurants and looking at the animals and the barns and the old ways of doing things. And this tourist came up to an Amish man, and he said to him, "Excuse me, sir, are you a Christian?" Well, the Amish man was kind of taken aback by the question. He thought for a second, and rather than answering, he said to the guy, "I think if you want to know if I'm a Christian, you need to ask my neighbor." Now, when I think about that story, I think that the fact is that we can call ourselves whatever we want. You know, you can call yourself a Christian. You can call yourself a giraffe. I mean, call yourself what you will. But it comes down to, are you living it out? For this Amish man, the question wasn't whether or not he considered himself a Christian. It was really a question of, what do my neighbors say? Do they see me living like Christ lived? Do they see me living as Jesus has called us to do so? So am I doing the things that Jesus did? Am I helping those who are in need? Am I loving God and loving my neighbor? Am I serving the poor and helping the destitute? Am I living in such a way that Christ lives through me? Am I visiting the imprisoned? Am I caring for the elderly, the people who can't care for themselves? If I do those things, then I guess I'm a Christian. Now, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, the Apostle Paul talks about the law of Christ. And he sums up following Christ in this way. Galatians 6:2 says, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." If you see a neighbor, a friend, another person, an acquaintance, even somebody you don't like, that is struggling, if you can help them in some way, and you do, you are fulfilling the law of Christ. Another drink of tea. You know, we had a couple of big events in our community here this past week. Last 2 weeks have been kind of interestingly, like busy, but not busy for us. So just 1 week ago on Sunday the 16th, the Shenandoah Valley was hit with another big snowstorm, and that has shut things down for a period of time. The schools in the area were closed from Monday through Thursday, including Thursday, and it wasn't until Friday that the kids finally went back to school. Now, I have a bit of a weird relationship with snow. I think it's beautiful. It's lovely. I enjoy playing in the snow with my children. But I also grew up in Northeast Ohio on a dairy farm, and whenever it snowed, it meant more work. You know, people that have snow days, you know, great for you. I'm really happy. But growing up, if it snowed, it meant, you had to go thaw the waterers, and it meant more work to carry the feed, the hay, out to the animals and make sure everybody was cared for and warm. Snow means more work. But the thing that I really love about snow here in Virginia is the way it makes other people care about one another and show that they care about other people. For instance, I live on a relatively busy road here in Stanton, Virginia. The traffic goes by pretty frequently on any given day. But when the snow falls and we get those big, fluffy Virginia snows, everything just shuts down. So when I walk out my front door, I just see this pristine scene of this city just covered in snow, completely white. No traffic, no motorcycles, nobody zipping up and down the road. Just people out talking. People shoveling their walks. People digging out their cars. And perhaps all the more beautiful, people helping other people. You see, in the snowstorm, some of these boundaries between our houses are just kind of erased. Like no longer, that's my property line right there. Don't you cross that. And that's where your sidewalk ends and mine begins. This is my car. That's your car. No, people will just shovel. They'll continue to shovel the sidewalk. It doesn't matter where your line is, where your boundary is. They just keep shoveling. When your car is dug out, you don't just go in for the day. You start helping the neighbor dig out theirs. And I remember this past Monday. It's been my practice here during the winter months. A dear, sweet lady from the church who's not able to get out and do this kind of work herself, I've been going and helping clear her driveway. And this Monday, about 1 o'clock, right after lunch, I decided I'm going to go and help dig out her driveway. And I show up, and guess what? Someone's already done it. There's something absolutely beautiful about the way people come together in the middle of a snowstorm. These boundaries are gone, and now we see each other as neighbors. The other big event in our house this week was COVID. Unfortunately, COVID found its way into our house, and while I haven't tested positive, I have all the symptoms, and of course, on cue. Sorry for that. Somebody in our house did test positive, and the fact that I have the symptoms suggests, yeah. So we have been quarantined for over a week now, about 10 days. Now, the magical thing about COVID, nobody wants COVID, nobody wishes to get COVID, but it's the way that people have responded that have made the difference. I have, from the very beginning, received phone calls and text messages, people saying, hey, can I stop by and bring you something? Can I get you something? We're running over here to the grocery store. Do you need anything? We're going to run to the drugstore. What can we get for you? I have received donuts and cookies. I have received soup and groceries delivered to my front door. It's been a beautiful thing seeing the way people have cared for me. You know, I'm usually the one as a pastor, like I'm the one caring for people, and it's great to see them returning that favor, caring for me and caring for others as well. Now, I think about how people would see this. You know, what do the kids think of all of this? What do they think whenever they see people bringing food to our house? One more cough. This one's going to be special. What do the kids think when they see this? What do they think when people are bringing food to our house? Or what do they think when, the neighbors are helping us dig out of our driveway or snow? Or when I'm out there digging them out, shoveling someone else's walk? They probably wonder, well, why do we do this? And I want to say, because that's what Christians do. We carry one another's burdens. When someone else is bogged down, when someone else is suffering, we try to lighten that load by helping them along the way. And in the midst of it, I realize that it might look weird. Like, why would you spend any extra time outside when it is 0 degrees, blowing, chilling wind, coming through, zipping through? Why would you do that? Why would you go and buy donuts and leave them on somebody's porch, ringing the doorbell and running away? Why do you do that? It's because it's what it means to bear one another's burdens. You know, there's a really interesting story in the book of Joshua, chapter 4. It's one that I like to come back to frequently, so you've probably heard me mention this before, but probably not in this context. In Joshua 4, we find the story of the Israelites crossing over the Jordan River, entering into the Promised Land. And God speaks to Joshua and tells him, hey, while you're going through the river, I want you to have 12 different men collect 12 big stones, 12 rocks, and carry them over to the place where you're going to be staying. And when you get there, I want you to assemble these rocks, stack them up, make a pile of rocks. Now that's a weird scene, isn't it? Like a big pile of 12 large rocks coming out of the river. And I'm sure that many of you have seen like stacked rocks if you're hiking along a river or, you know, maybe through the woods somewhere. Someone has come along, they've stacked rocks vertically like this, and you know that somebody has done this because it doesn't happen naturally. That's not normal. You know that somebody intentionally went and did that. So God doesn't just stop there. He doesn't just tell Joshua, have them bring these rocks and then stack them up on each other. He tells them why he's doing it. God says, when your children see this, they'll ask the question, what do these stones mean? What does it mean? Why are they stacked up like that? Why did you do that? Why did you go through the effort of doing that, making yourself uncomfortable? Well, God says, when the kids ask the question, what do these stones mean? Joshua is supposed to simply tell them the story. Tell them the story of how God led the people out of Egypt, out of captivity, out of slavery. How God led them through the wilderness and fed them for 40 years. How God led them across the Jordan River. How God separated the water so they could walk through on dry land and gave them the Promised Land. When your children see this weird thing that you've got here, this stack of rocks, when your children see that, they will ask the question, what do these stones mean? And when they do, tell them the story. And I wonder sometimes, is that story just for the children? Is it just so the children can learn the story? Or is it also so Joshua and the Israelites can remember all that God has done for them? Now, when I think about the things that we've been doing over the last couple weeks and hopefully our entire lifetime, these good deeds, this sharing of our burdens, this helping dig out after snow, this helping somebody who's sick and can't go out or leave their home. When I think about doing these things, I realize that sometimes what we're doing by bearing each other's burdens is really just continuing in what God has already done for us. When we remember what God has done for us, we too realize that we have the obligation, the duty to help others along the way. Now in Matthew chapter 5 verse 16, Jesus shares our motivation for doing good. He says in this verse, he says, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So why serve others? Well, in part because it's good. You should serve others. You should help other people out when they're in need. And this isn't like necessarily just a Christian thing. Other people are doing good things. But our motivation is perhaps different. Yes, you want to help people just to help them. But in helping them, you are continuing. You are joining in the work that God has done. God has chosen to help us, to bear our burdens. And when we bear other burdens as well, we are joining in that work. And we are pointing to Jesus as our Lord. And we are saying, just as Jesus has bared our burdens, we want to help you bear some of yours as well. And when people ask the question, what do these stones mean? Maybe not specifically the stones. What do these words, what do these actions, what do these duties, what does that mean? We point to Christ. This is a reminder of what we have been receiving, what we have received from Christ himself. So I come full circle back to that Amish man who was asked by the tourist, are you a Christian? And the Amish man didn't just answer yes or no. He said, if you want to know if I'm a Christian, ask my neighbor. Why ask my neighbor? Well, because as a Christian, we are called to serve one another, to love one another, to care for one another, to bear each other's burdens. And in times of COVID, in times of snow, in times of whatever might be thrown at us, we care for one another by bearing their burdens. So if you want to know if someone is a Christian, ask their neighbor, has this world been made a better place? Has this community been improved by their presence? And if it has, there's a chance that they're simply following the lead of Christ. All right, my friends, stay well, stay healthy, and continue to help one another.